Grace to you and peace from him who was, who is, and who is to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. That is the confession that we will all make together in just a few moments as we speak together the words of the Nicene Creed. One church. That is hard to believe and comprehend when there are so many divisions or denominations within the Christian church on earth. And such divisions are man's fault, not God's. And yet in the mess that is the Christian church on earth, that exists divided throughout the world, there is only one church. And while the divisions within the Christian church are not God's intent, there is a division within the church that is biblical. That split has happened because of sin and because of death. Death has left the church with two parts: the church militant and the church triumphant. The church militant is made up of those Christians who remain here on earth, doing battle against sin, death, and the power of the devil. We here belong to this group, for we are constantly at war against the evil spiritual realm as we struggle day in and day out with temptations and sin, with pain, with suffering. Martin Luther knew this battle well. It had plagued his conscience so as to keep him from knowing the peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of salvation for us and all mankind upon the cross. What was finally able to cleanse Luther of his guilt was coming to know and trust fully in that gospel message. Jesus Christ and him crucified for sinners became Luther's central focus in all that he preached and all that he taught. Christ crucified remains central for the church militant as well, as it does indeed come out so clearly in the great battle hymn of the Reformation, Luther's own, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And while the church militant is designated in Revelation chapter 7 by the 144,000, all bearing the seal of God, lined up perfectly, ready for battle, the church triumphant appears in John's next vision, also in Revelation 7. "After this I looked," says John, "and behold, a great multitude that no one could number." This group, which no one could count, John sees gathered around one place, the throne of the Lamb. They are wearing white robes, and they are carrying palm branches proudly in their hands. Together, in unison, as one, they cry out with a loud voice that shakes the heavens, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now, they are not there because of any good deed that they have done in their lives, for they know, first and foremost, that all of their sins far outnumbered any good thing that they had done. And they know that all of their own self-righteousness was tainted with sin, as it says clearly in Isaiah 64. But instead, they level their praise for salvation from sin to the only source of salvation from sin, to the only proper recipient, the Lamb. It is the Lamb who has removed their soiled garments. It is the Lamb who has clothed them with robes of purity, as described by the prophet in Zechariah chapter 3. The Lamb, who is Christ, has given them those vestments in the blessed sacraments of holy baptism, where we too are united with Christ in his death and his resurrection, according to Romans chapter 6. And those blessed members of the church triumphant know the source of their salvation. Because of Jesus, the Lamb, they now stand at his throne, triumphant over sin, over death, and over the devil through faith in Christ. And they now sing praises at his throne, waiting also for the resurrection on the last day. We remember on this day that part of the one church, the church triumphant, on this All Saints' Day. And so our gaze is shifted onto the section of the church that we cannot see, that has been received into glory through the valley of the shadow of death. All of our loved ones who have died, trusting in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, they are now at rest from their labors. Their suffering has ended. Their tribulation is over. They are now in the presence of the one whom they have confessed as Lord and Savior. And that number of those saints is countless. And yet, they are one together. They are those saints of beloved fame. And they are those saints who remain unsung. They are the powerhouses of the one true faith. And they are those who held them up. It is remarkable to stop and ponder the greatness of this momentous day, All Saints' Day. This has been celebrated by the church from its earliest years. And so it is good for us to keep on celebrating as they did so many years before. For we do not want to ever forget the church triumphant in our lives here as the church militant. We do not want to ever think that we are alone in the church. Far from it. For the one church is so much bigger than any one of us, and so much bigger than all of the saints who are in glory. For the one church is Christ's beloved bride, with his own blood. He bought her, and for her life he died, which we have already sung this morning. And nothing can change that truth of what Christ has done. And while death has separated the church, it remains one, for Christ is one. And he has triumphed over death. Death no longer has dominion over Christ. And so death has no dominion over the church. On this day, we celebrate the oneness of the church. And yet the oneness of the church should not be left to just one day of the year. Instead, it needs to be on our thoughts each and every day, especially this day, the Lord's Day, as we gather together in His triune name to receive from Him the fruits of Christ's cross. We, all here together, are one. One in sin, one in death, one in corruption. Because of Jesus and His innocent suffering and death on the cross, we have forgiveness of our sins. And so we are then one in Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all together. We belong to His one church. We gather in the one triune name of God. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. As we remember on this day the saints in the church triumphant, we remember that we too shall be numbered with those saints in glory everlasting. But until then, we also remember that we remain one with them even here and now, one with the one church, which is Christ's very body. Where Christ is, there is His church. And so where Christ is, there we are. And there are the saints in glory. And we know that Christ comes to us here in this place in word and sacrament. We know that He meets us here at His altar, where He grants us His body and blood for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. So we are all united there at His altar, for there is Christ. We are all one in Him, saints in the church militant, and saints in the church triumphant. And with those saints in glory, we await the last day when that division will cease to exist between church militant and church triumphant. For we are all saints because of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. It is fitting, then, that all saints together cry out as one church, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.